And now I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You got to watch out when a preacher starts to wade into the congregation holding the Bible. You thought you were getting out of something by skipping confirmation today, didn't you? So my former parish, there was a guy that was there named Jerry Minshaw. And Jerry had been in radio production his whole life, and you knew it as soon as you spoke to him because he had this incredible, resonant, deep, rich, baritone kind of voice. You know, when Jerry spoke, it was, you know, I'm Jerry Minshaw. You know, it had that kind of like resonance. And so because he was so good at that, every year on Palm Sunday, when we read the Passion Gospel, we did it like we do at St. Paul's, where we divide it up and have different people read different characters. And Jerry was always the narrator, you know?
And then Jesus came to Pilate.
You know, and it sounds like, you know, Walter Cronkite reading the news, you know? And invariably, though, because of my role in the parish and my willingness to be out there, I was always cast as Jesus. And so I'm like in the back of the church, you know, and so we were,
and then Jesus said,
and the next voice is me with my squeaky little like falsetto, my God, why have thou forsaken me? Like my voice is not
Jerry Minshaw,
you know, and I always thought it was funny because I don't know if anybody sounded like what God's supposed to sound like,
it's Jerry Minshaw,
right? It's not squeaky Jesus, me. It was kind of like when, if you were here at 11:15 2 weeks ago, Don Hartman, who's a bass singer for the opera, was the second reader. And it was just before the gospel. And Shields is in the pulpit, and he's like, we should just let Don say everything, because that sort of resonance comes at you. Here's my point. That kind of voice sounds like
the voice of God
to some degree. But really, my question is this. What does God's voice sound like? What does it mean to hear from God? What does it mean to have God speak and to know it's God's voice? I mean, we seem to think that there's some sort of, you know, connection to
Jerry Minshaw's timbre,
but honestly, in my life and in my experience, I talk to a lot of people that are agonizing about how do I know when God is talking to me and how do I not? How do I discern the difference between what I want and what God wants? How do I know how to hear from God? And so I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. I want to speak to that because I think Jesus actually tells us some really helpful things in our gospel today about it. This gospel text from John, we have a little chunk of a longer section where Jesus is proclaiming himself to be the good shepherd. And this is important because what he's doing in this is he's actually contrasting himself with bad shepherds. The leadership of Israel, particularly their king, had been known ever since David as shepherds. That was like the metaphor for leadership of the people of God. You know, David was a shepherd. People that are doing it right are shepherding God's people. They are a flock, and the leaders of the people are like shepherds. And so Jesus has, in this moment, he is confronting the current leadership of the nation, and he's like, you are leading us in a bad way. You are taking us on this path of nationalism and rebellion and revolution. Nothing that you're heaping more religious weight on people's backs, we're being overtaxed. So he is challenging them, and he's saying, I'm the good shepherd. Let me show you what it's like when it's done well. They are not so good. I'm the good ones. You can see why they wanted to go ahead and kill Jesus. Like, no one wants to hear that, you know, let alone have the sting of conviction of it being true. And so Jesus is contrasting himself with current leadership in this text. Now, here's what's interesting about it, is he says in there, there's lots of verbiage about voices and the voice of God. I have other sheep to bring into this fold. They will listen to my voice. He says that the flock will know me, and I will know them. And then he also says, just before all of this, he says that The good shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is chapter 10, verse 3. These were not included in the lection this year, but I want you to hear this. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep will follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from them because they do not know the voice of the stranger. So we have all of this conversation about hearing the voice of the shepherd, knowing the voice of the shepherd. We even have Jesus saying that the sheep know my voice. They know what the shepherd said. They wouldn't listen to someone else because they know. And here's the thing about it that's so compelling. According to Jesus, he has no anxiety about the disciples' ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. None. There's no hand-wringing. There's no beating your head against the wall. There's no, oh my gosh, is it God? I don't know. Does God speak? It's just, oh yeah, oh the sheep? Oh, they would know the shepherd's voice. Yeah, yeah. So you know what he's saying, right? You already know what God sounds like. You already know what it's like to hear God. You already have that sense. You hear. Yeah. Yeah, Jesus, not having any problems with that. Now, some of you may also be wondering,
What about the voice of God, right?
Well, remember, I mean, I'm not saying that the creator of the universe can't talk audibly to people. There's stories about it. Some of you maybe have experienced it. But I think God is a lot more creative than that. And it actually plays a little bit against type. And here's why. Our ears are not the faculty of the human body that is made to hear God. All right? Here's what I mean. My kids, early on in their life in church, asked me, both of them, at some point, Dad, how do you know if God's talking to you? You know, when I'm praying, does God hear me? I haven't like heard God say something. There's all these voice texts, these stories I've heard from in Sunday school. How do I know if God's saying something? And I said, well, let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a rich man that wanted to know what a kiwi tasted like. He had seen one, and he had one, and he wanted to know what it tasted like. And so he brought in three people. He brought in a doctor, a sculptor, and a homeless man. And he asked the doctor first, he's like, Doctor, can you tell me what this kiwi tastes like? So the doctor put on his lab coat, he weighed the kiwi, he examined it, he measured it, and he said, here is what the kiwi weighs, here's how it appears, here's how it, how wide it is, how much volume and water it displaces, here are its measurements. But I can't tell you what it tastes like. The sculptor comes in, says, oh, this is a beautiful kiwi. He takes his clay and he starts to move it and shape it, and suddenly it becomes this beautiful reproduction of the kiwi. And he hands it to the rich man and he says, here's a reproduction of the kiwi. And the rich man says, but I still don't know what it tastes like. And so then the homeless man comes in. He says, can you help me? Can you tell me what this kiwi tastes like? And so the homeless man takes the kiwi and he takes a bite, right? And he says, it tastes good. It's tangy, it's sweet, it's juicy. Because you can't taste something with your eyes. You can't taste something with your ears. You can't taste something with measurements. You can't taste something by reproducing. You can only taste something by eating it, right? Because what is the faculty of the human body that's made for tasting? Your tongue, right? Your ears have a purpose. They're wonderful. You can hear things with them. You need them. But they can't tell you what a kiwi tastes like, right? Your eyes can't tell you what something tastes like. They're useful, but they can't tell you what a kiwi tastes like. That's just not what they're for, right? The faculty of the human body that is made for discerning the voice of God, for hearing the shepherd, is not your ears. The faculty of the human body that is made for connecting with and discerning the will of God is your heart. It is the center and seat of your being. This is the faculty that hears God's voice, knows the voice of the shepherd. You already know this. You have intuitions. You have thoughts. You have moments where you're thinking about a choice and something in you is like, that's not the right choice for you. That, and here's where it comes out. you're about to do something selfish or destructive, and you have that moment of hesitation. It's the voice of the shepherd. That moment of hesitation is not Jerry Minshaw saying, "Stop now." It's coming from in here. You know, we talk about like the heart, but like, do you know what I'm saying? The mystics talk about it as your inner wisdom. They talk about it as the Christ wisdom that has been speaking since the beginning of time. All you're doing is tuning your radio to hear it. You're flexing it. Because it's what God is interested in is you becoming so attuned to the rhythm and the flow of the Trinity and of the patterns of the kingdom of God that you're not asking all the time, "Oh my gosh, is there this rule book? Like, how do I know if I'm making the right choice here? I got to look this up." God's interested in us developing a sense of, "Oh, I'm a natural performer of this way of life." And that, in knowing kind of what the right choices are, where the voice of the shepherd is speaking, that's a voice that you internalize from here. Are you with me on that? Do you know the place of the heart? Okay. If you don't, you can, it's just about paying, it's about tuning, about paying attention, about naming what you already know to be true. Because as Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, one last thought about this. When it comes to hearing the voice of the shepherd, and it comes to making choices, it's not all up to you. As much as the heart is the place that we are kind of interested in being affected and connected to the voice of God, it also takes community. It takes a group of people. So if you're, there's one thing if it's like, you know what, I'm gonna take $5 out of John Shields' wallet. He left it in the vesting room. I'm gonna slip out, I'm gonna get it, and I go and I take that, I'm getting ready to do it, and I have that sense of, oh, that's not the right thing, okay? That's one kind of hearing. But the other aspect of this would be when you have like a big decision to make, a life choice. Are we gonna downsize, right? Are we ready? What school is gonna be best for my kid? And how do I help them get what they need? Should I take this job or not? Like, we come into these situations of life choices where we're like, well, how do we know? Isn't it more than just my gut feeling? Because my gut feeling doesn't have enough. Right. And in that sense, we lean into the voice of the shepherd in our community. We seek other people and we say, will you pray about this with me? Will you help me make this decision? The best example of that in my recent life has been my call to come here. Like the process you all went through to call me as your rector. Because that's a process that began with lots of listening and processing and dreaming and just firing off crazy ideas. We want a rector who can skateboard or whatever all the things were on the list. And then that gets discerned and turned over to a group of people who meet a whole bunch of candidates and pray about who they are. And then that group of candidates gets sifted down to the 6 finalists, of which I was one. Before you knew me, the good old days. And then they were brought here and they met with the vestry, and the vestry had to pray, which one of these is the person that you've called here, God? Meanwhile, as one of those, I'm with my group of people and we're praying, oh my gosh, are we supposed to do this? Are we supposed to take this job? I don't know. Is this right? It feels right in here. I think enough for me to put my application in, but I need more than that to know if this is really of God. And so what happens is my community is like, I think if that door opens, you're supposed to go through it. Meanwhile, this community over here at St. Paul's is like, we think Dixon might be our person. And for me to become the rector took all that agreement. It wasn't just about me making a little choice in myself. It was about crowdsourcing the wisdom of God. And then with all of that agreement, we all said, with humility, God, we're stepping forward. And here we are. And what has been great for me in that is the calm and the freedom from hearing the shepherd's voice has come in the times where I've been the most stressed or anxious or uncertain about my ability to lead at this church and to know, am I doing this right? Am I breaking this thing? You know, should I hire John Shields? I don't know. Whatever those things have been, there's been this reassurance in all of that agreement that, no, that was the shepherd's voice. You can trust that call, Dixon. God didn't call anybody else to be here. God called you to be here. So there's nobody else that could do it because you're the one that's supposed to be here. All of that came from listening to the shepherd's voice. So I think I'm going to teach a class on this because as I put this together, there's a lot of nuance that I would love to explore that makes this much more interesting. So today, here's your takeaway. Do not be anxious about hearing the voice of the shepherd. You already know what it sounds like. You already have heard it. You have followed it. And let me assure you, God wants you to hear God's voice even more than you do. And God's a lot more powerful than any of our doubt, self-delusion, or anxiety. So breathe peacefully, and may you listen to the voice of the shepherd from your heart. Amen.